Paul said, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. On the contrary, first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, and throughout the whole country of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached the need to repent and turn to God, and to do works giving evidence of repentance. That is why the Jews seized me when I was in the temple and tried to kill me. But I have enjoyed God's help to this very day. And so I stand here, testifying to small and great alike, saying nothing different from what the prophets and Moses foretold, that the Messiah must suffer, and that, as the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim the light both to our people and to the Gentiles. Verbum Domini. Deo gratias. Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
For steadfast is his kindness toward us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my sheep and mine know me.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we celebrate the memorial of Saint Boniface, martyr. He died in the 700s. He was from England. He joined the Benedictines, became a monk, and then went on mission to Germany. He went all the way to Rome to get permission from the Pope to do this, and he would eventually become a bishop, and he was martyred in 755. He's called the Apostle to Germany. He brought the faith there. It's a wonderful expression, the martyrs, of this good shepherd that Jesus is telling us about, that he is today. He lays down his life for the sheep. And the priests are sent out in imitation of this, that share in that shepherding of the world. So that's what Jesus tells us, most extraordinary thing. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine and mine know me. Using these I am statements, you know, scripture scholars have seen that this is the amazing thing, that God himself, Jesus, the Son of God, is coming down to shepherd us. And this was prophesied in Ezekiel 34. He says, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the fountains, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture and upon the mountain heights of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the crippled and strengthen the weak. I myself, he is the divine shepherd. And it's absolutely astounding that he would lay down his life for us, not at a distance, not just talk to us at a distance, comes to us in the flesh, lays down his life for us on the cross in the passion. Obedient, he was obedient to the Father's will, proclaiming and teaching himself as the Messiah. He was rejected and crucified, and he continued in that obedience to the point of death. And that obedience is ultimately what saves us. It's an obedience freely given. It's not forced. He lays down his life in love, a sacrificial love. And that's when love really gets real, isn't it? When it costs something, right? That's when love really grows within us. Because he takes on the burden of our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, as Paul said. He takes that, not that he himself would ever commit sin, but that penalty, that horrible separation that we experience in sin, the weight of that alienation of sin, he takes that upon himself. So no, he's not merely a teacher. He's not merely a ruler. He's a shepherd that lays down his life for us. And the good shepherd, he says, the quality is to protect from the wolves, that the hireling shepherd, the one who works for pay, runs away. He has no real concern for the sheep. And Augustine would interpret this saying that, you know, the pastor that fails to correct, rebuke, or protect the flock, his flock, and fails to correct sin, rebuke sin, due to fear, maybe losing a friendship or suffering opposition, is merely the hireling. He's not a good shepherd. And the fact that there very much is a wolf that catches and scatters, Jesus says. I take that to mean catch. He eats the sheep, and the sheep need defending, right? We think of the crozier, the staff of the shepherd, to beat off the wolves, because they're not playing around. They're going to eat the sheep. They're going to devour the sheep. And many souls could be lost, you know, giving in to sin. That's what they're really trying to do. The devil's trying to do is get us to sin. He leads people into sin by deception, by demonic attacks. He leads them out of the flock. He scatters, gets us out of the church. In the church, we have the green pastures. We have Jesus' care, his tender care for us, that we can receive the sacraments, we can receive his life. The wolf scatters. He scatters, chases them out of the flock. Also, the spirit of the world that professes and encourages a radical autonomy, presents freedom as license, that keeps us distracted, entertained, and even addicted, maybe to substances, or maybe just to the virtual world in some way. I'm not paying attention to God. I'm caught up in this other stuff now. I'm not listening for his voice. And earlier, a couple verses earlier, he talks about the false shepherds being thieves and robbers. That's certainly present in our culture today. Many powerful forces can, you know, monetize this distraction, make profit off of, you know, endless media, doom scrolling, social media, and use the people. Even totalitarian states, right, will say, you know, your country is the most important thing above God. Use the people, treat them as a thing. And a beautiful aspect of this too, in speaking of himself, Jesus says that the good shepherd, you know, knows personally and calls us by name. He knows us personally. says, I know mine and mine know me, as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I think we all have experienced that. We can recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd, something that's leading us into sin or isolation or something, versus this Good Shepherd that leads us to life, that gives us consolation. So he has a personal knowledge of us, that he delights in us. He wants to have that relationship with us. He wants us to trust him with all our difficulties and problems, to turn it over to him. He sees all our struggles. He sees all our losses. He sees all our sufferings, what we're going through. Even in the best of loving relationships, I can't read another person's heart. I can't see into the heart. God sees into the heart. And maybe the best part of this good news, that we have a good shepherd, is that the good shepherd seeks out the lost. We see that clearly in Luke's gospel, chapter 15, the prodigal son. The first few parables speaks about the shepherd leaving the 99 for the one. He's not satisfied with 99 faithful sheep. He goes after the one. Celebrates it with joy when he finds that one and brings him back. He's not passive. He pursues sinners and maybe even comes after us more ardently when we've fallen into sin. Our Lady comes after us, interceding for us, the wounded, the confused. I think in particular about the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, that there, we could say in a sense, the Father waits for us to return. But yet he's working grace in us, because when that prodigal son comes back, he arises, comes to his senses. That's a work of grace. That's not me figuring it out and deciding just on my own. It's like my heart is moved by his grace to come back to him. That's what the Good Shepherd calls us, seeks us out, giving us grace, always drawing us to himself. That's his love for us. You know, on the beach, when Jesus meets with Peter, says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. That's the criterion he's looking for. We say that that moment he was instituted as the first pope, because he had denied our Lord fallen. There's some question, you know, is he to be still the pope? The Council of Trent said that was the moment that he's instituted into that office that he has. The criterion, he doesn't ask him a lot of doctrine. The criterion is, do you love me? Do you have communion with me? Because with communion with me, you're sent out. You're to be that good shepherd to my flock, to my people. So he feeds us with his truth, his love, and his life, the truth of his word, his love, and that personal relationship. And his life, pours out his very life, sanctifying grace and many other graces through the sacraments. He leads us to green pastures, to still waters. He spreads a table before us. We celebrate the Eucharist, to have his body and blood to eat and drink. He refreshes my soul, Psalm 23, restores us. And then Psalm 23 says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, my rod and my staff, they comfort me. So that's the great promise, that we can have very difficult things, very hard crosses, but he is with us. And we find him in those difficulties. He's there present. And there's hard realities we have to accept sometimes, but he's there with us. And he himself is leading us, not at a distance. He doesn't command from a distance like a general, but as an example that we have communion with him. And I'll close with this. Another aspect of this really good news is that he continues this shepherding through his bishops and priests. That Ezekiel quote, you know, like divine identity statements, you know, I will shepherd through the sacrament of holy orders. He is prolonging his presence as a good shepherd to the flock. Sacramentally, Jesus is there. It's he who baptizes, he who hears the confession, it's he and the priest that offers that mass. In John Paul II's document on the priesthood, he said the priesthood, you know, prolongs in the church and in history the saving presence of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He says priests are called to prolong the presence of Christ, the one high priest, embodying his way of life and making him visible in the midst of the flock entrusted to their care. What a gift. I say that as one who's experienced that priestly ministry. When I go to confession, when I go to spiritual direction, receive counsel, when I receive comfort from a priest, I'm experiencing that from the Good Shepherd. He is at work, he's always at work, shepherding us to those green pastures and still waters.